Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Read Mother's Day because it was a difficult day. And if you're here like that today, I'm here, I'm with you. It can be hard, but you know, I found myself this year just really looking forward to it. Looking forward to it because God just heals. God heals and God helps. And so wherever you are on the sphere, amen, we're here with you. And I read this poem and I thought it was so good. I think I shared it last year as well. But it's just so powerful. And if I can get my computer to work for me today, I will read it for you. Here we go. It just talks about Mother's Day and what it means. And all the moms and wherever you are in this. It says, to those of you who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoption, or running away and loss of relationship, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. We just really don't know what to say sometimes. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you and we cry with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and we pray with you. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be. To those who are step-parents, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and we rejoice with you. We realize that it's complicated. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. And we remember you and we celebrate you today. And that's so good. It really covers all through the spectrum of Mother's Day for all of us. And so I just want to encourage you, especially if you're here today, and maybe you're like me, you don't have biological children. I want to encourage you. There are so many people that are in need and starving for the love of a mother. Ask God to bring them into your life. And those of you who've lost a mother or your mom is not the relationship that it needs to be or should be, I encourage you to look for the moms that God will bring into your life to fill your life up. Amen? And for those of you who are moms, you're going to make it. Amen? And today's message, God Will Make a Way, is going to help you. It's going to help you. But to celebrate Mother's Day, we have a couple of things that we're doing. We have all of our kids. If you have a kid in 11 and under, you're going to receive a gift today that your child has made for you. One of those things that you will cherish forever, regardless of how it looks. It will be a masterpiece to you. And so you will receive one of those today. And for the rest of the ladies, I believe that all moms mother in a certain way. Whether you mother people spiritually, you mentor mother them, or you mother four-legged kids, right? Those are our kids. And sometimes, I remember my brother telling me one time, he said, I'll trade you. I'll trade you sometimes. But however you mother, we celebrate you today, and we have a great message for everyone in here today that God will make a way. But before we begin, we've got a little video that the kids made. They've been working on it for a while, and we want to show that to you. So here we go. Happy Mother's Day. Some of those signs are very funny. Hey, today we're going to do something a little bit different, and I wanted today to hear from a mom for on Mother's Day. And so actually last year during on Mother's Day, during the message, I said, Angie, we'll have you share next year. And so I know I made the right choice, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. And today, this morning, I was reading on Facebook. I happened to see what Selena wrote to her mom on Facebook. And all of it is so true. It's so true. I don't want to make you cry before you have to speak. But, you know, Angie and Pastor Angel have raised amazing children. And they're not perfect parents, but they're great parents. Amen. They've gone through hard times, easy times. Some kids are easier than others, I'm sure. And but you know what? They've navigated it all with grace and with kindness and just amazing parents. And so today, Angie's going to come and she's going to share a few minutes on just how the Lord has helped her be the mom that she is. And so give Angie a hand as she comes.
Hi, guys. Happy Mother's Day. Pastor Peggy was so right. Mothers come in all shapes and sizes, okay? She's a mother. She's been a mother to all of us. She's had, if you saw the picture last week of the wedding, all those guys, grown-ups now, they were all in her youth group, okay? She was a mother to them. She's been a mother to Devon, okay? She's been a mother to a lot of us. Angela Jacobs, Worcester, how many kids? You know, that's a mother. Guys, sometimes from the day biologically that you know that you're conceived and that that little person is inside of you, something happens and you totally change. It all becomes about that other person. And you give and you give and you give. And you forget about yourself. You forget about your spouse. You even find it hard to have time alone with God, okay? And I'm just being serious because I've been there. I've had 4 in 9 years, okay? And so I was a real busy mom. And I tried my darndest to, can I say that in church? I tried my hardest to be the best mom that I could be, right? I poured into them as much as I could. I tried to teach them, but I could only do so much. The greatest gift that I ever gave my children was bringing them to church, okay, and introducing them to God and surrendering myself to God and saying, there's so much I can do. God, you got to meet me here and you got to help me out, because sometimes, believe me, with 4 of them, I didn't know if I was coming or going. And I worked nights, so I was in a rough mood, okay? So I was very touchy, and I found myself jumping at them for the slightest things. And now, and I wasn't always, like she said, the best mom, but we tried. And they've grown up, and my youngest is soon to leave to Gainesville in August. So we're empty nesters, but we have 4 amazing friends that we can call on whenever we need them. They know how to rely on God. They know how to pray. They're amazing, amazing, amazing people. And I was having an adult talk with one of them this week, and he was saying to me, Mom, you should be proud how much you accomplished. It wasn't always easy. Telephones went flying through glass windows sometimes, and shoes broke, dining room tables, and I called Pastor Peggy a whole lot of times in those teenage years. But we made it. We made it. They're amazing people. And just for encouragement, moms, I know you say things over and over and over again. Mom, they're listening. Whether it's now, today, or whether it's 10 years from now, you're going to see that everything you put into them is going to flourish. You are planting those seeds, okay? Believe me, I went blue in the face saying the same things. But then God, when it was their time, they showed me that they were listening. I could have never done this if it wasn't for the grace of God, okay? And I don't mean to step on anybody's toes today, but I will encourage you, moms, keep going. But put God first. It took me a long time to put God first and surrender my kids to Him. A long time, because I wanted to be the great mom, and I wanted to say here, now, when, later, and it doesn't work like that. You have to surrender them to God, and you have to plead the blood of Jesus over them, and you do as much as you can do, and God will take care of the rest, okay? I promise you, if you install those seeds in them, and you plant them, and you water them on a daily basis, there is no birthday party, no gymnastics, no sports event, nothing that's going to be able to take place of God, okay? I promise you, I know you're busy, moms, picking up from school, taking to school, maybe working out of the home, cooking, cleaning. What else do we do? Taking to sports events, taking to soccer, whatever it may be, piano. None of those things are important if you don't show them the way to God first.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you teach them. It doesn't matter how many instruments they play. That's irrelevant right now. If you don't teach them about God, how to pray, if you don't teach them how to seek God and depend on God and surrender to God, that's all going to be, it's not worth it. It's worthwhile. It's a waste of your time almost, okay? And I'm not saying that you can't have them in sports and pianos and this and that, but teach them God first. Angel and I were here every Wednesday from the time that they were tiny. Christian, who's 21 now, came here at 8 months. And we were here all the time. And when we said on a Wednesday night, we are not going to church, my kids would cry. They would cry and they would beg us to go to church. And at the time, I didn't see the importance of that, but I see it today. Okay? So guys, just as an encouragement, don't give up on those kids, okay? You have a purpose, and God chose you as their mom for a reason. I couldn't be Devon's kid's parent. I couldn't be anybody else's mom, but my kids' moms. And now my grandchildren's, okay? And there's always somebody out there that needs a mom. Be like Pastor Peggy and mentor somebody. Show them love. Angel and I are trying to do that back there in the youth room with Anna Ease and Anthony. Instill some love, instill some Jesus in them. That's the best gift you can ever give a child, okay? So moms, keep doing what you're doing. And let God take care of the rest, okay? Happy Mother's Day.
That was awesome. Did a great job. You know, that's so true what Angie said just about being in church. And, you know, in our culture, in our society right now, you know, church is taking a more and more of a back seat. You're almost at the back of the bus here. And, you know, people are like, oh, I'll just listen online. Well, you know, you can listen online, but your kids aren't listening online. Come on now. There's no online church for kids. Not the same experience. And, you know, these guys are a great example of having your kids in church and how important that is, and not letting other things take the place that God has. And, you know, we can stand on Matthew 6:33 that says, when I seek first the kingdom of God, when I seek first his kingdom, I love the Passion Translation, when I chase after the things of God, it says. When I do that, it's not my message today, it's just a freebie, but when I do that, when I put God first in every area, if you read up in that chapter, Matthew 6, he's talking about all the natural things, all the natural things. He said, listen, if you'll seek God first, then he'll take care of the rest. But when we don't seek God first and we try to do it all the rest on our own, and we start feeling like, man, this isn't working, I'm stressed out, I'm this, I'm that, nothing feels like it's supposed to feel, nothing is going the way it's supposed to go. Well, if we don't have first place, that's how you're always going to feel. And sometimes we don't see the impact that things we do, that habits and family things that we do, we don't see the impact of those until later. I'll tell you, and this is again just a freebie, I see the impact. You know, I'm 50, I'll be 52 this year. I know, shocking. I always say that. I'll be that, but you know, I remember almost probably 30 years ago when we as a family started doing family lunch. And all of the other traditions that we have in our family, we have a lot of traditions. And I want to encourage you that those traditions make families strong. And at the time, you may not feel the impact of them. And they may be, for lack of a better expression, a pain. Because you're busy and you have all these things to do. I can't tell you how many times I would be swamped at my desk. Just so much stuff going on. And my alarm would go off. It's time to go meet Dad for lunch. And I would just be like, you know, and on the inside, I would be, you know, oh, I'm going to cancel, you know, or I'm so busy. And I'm so thankful that I didn't. Because I didn't see now the fruit. I didn't see then the fruit I have now. Relationships don't happen automatically. Whether you're blood, it doesn't happen automatically. It happens because we put effort into it. And so I encourage you today, I say this every Mother's Day, mother and daughter relationships especially are complicated. How many say amen to that? No matter how, where your relationship is, put the time and the effort into it. Because one day, and there's a lot of us in here that know this feeling, one day you will not have that opportunity again. And I've shared this many times, but I share it as a warning and just an encouragement to you. I will never forget the day. I almost get emotional every time I think about it because I'm just so thankful to the Lord. I was driving down Lake, whichever one goes east. I always get Lake and Lucerne mixed up. Lake Worth Road, east. I was driving down Lake Worth Road, east. I was in my car, and just on the inside, the Holy Ghost just rose up in me and just spoke to me so clearly. And he said, if you do not get the relationship with your mother straightened out, you will live in regret for the rest of your life. And I am so, and I have preached that, I have said that from this pulpit over and over and over again, because I've dealt with a lot of people when they have loss in their life. And when you have loss in your life, regret complicates it to a level that you do not understand. And so if you're here today and you have family members and there's awkwardness and there's tension and there's this and there's that, listen, we can't change them, but we can love them. We can let them know, I love you. I don't agree with you. And you're not the boss of me. But I love you. And I want you to know that. And so I want to encourage you in here today. Whether it's your mom, whether it's your dad, whatever it is, you say, well, Pastor, you don't know the situation. Listen, don't just mark it off the list until you've at least prayed it through. And let God speak to you. Amen. And just because I love someone doesn't mean that I agree with them, doesn't mean that I let them rule my life, doesn't mean that I'm looking to them for advice. No, it doesn't. Sometimes we want to just totally close the door on people because of maybe life choices that they've made. But no matter what life choices someone has made, I can always love them and let them know that I love them. Amen? And that's just all free for you today. All right, here we go. I'll get off my little soapbox. But I tell you that in a loving way, because it's just time goes by. A lot of times it goes by fast. And when you're in the moment, you don't realize how fast it's going by. How many agree with that? Time goes by fast. And so be aware, right? All right, we're talking about God will make a way in here this morning. And I loved what Angie was saying, and it was so true. And we did have a lot of conversations when the kids were young. And so what an encouragement for you guys, and that you get to see that, hear it from somebody who's been where you are, that sometimes it doesn't look like it's working out. Sometimes those kids, you just want to, you know. But persevere. And don't try to do it alone. Like she said, they were always in church. She and I would talk a lot because her kids were in youth group. Don't try to do it alone. You know, you have family and you have church for community and for help. You need help, right? We need help. And so here we go. God will make a way. This when I was preparing this message, I was really thinking about just parents and moms and but everybody, that sometimes we just feel like, man, this isn't working. Anybody ever feel that way? This isn't working. I just can't seem to get this to work. I can't seem to get past this feeling. I can't seem to move to where I want to go. It just feels like I'm just locked, I'm blocked, and I can't. Nothing is working out, and I have no provision. I have no resource. I feel empty. It's amazing how many people I talk to, and one of the things they say is, man, I just feel so empty. I love God, but I just feel so empty. And so you know what? God will make a way out of that. God doesn't want you to stay that way. God's got a plan for you. And over in Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 19, I love this scripture. And it said, God is speaking. This is God talking. How many want to listen when God's talking? Right? You know, you can ignore a lot of people, but when God is talking, remember, some of you are too young to remember this. Remember those old commercials? E.F. Hutton. E.F. Hutton. Listen, God is more than E.F. Hutton. Some of you are like, who? Who? You can Google it. You can Google it. And so anyway, God is talking through the prophet, and he says, see, I am doing a new thing. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what is going on, God has something new and better for you. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to move to a new place. I'm going to get a new job. It's going to be a new perspective. It's going to be a new grace. It's going to be a new level of patience. It's going to be a new opportunity. You know, God is just always, we're supposed to live from glory to glory. Amen? And so God's always going to give us new understanding, new wisdom, where we can see things. How many have ever had a situation and you were so dead set in it, and then suddenly you got a new perspective of it? And it just totally changed. It totally changed how you saw the situation. And you know what? God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Listen, don't get stuck. Because the only reason you're stuck is because you're letting yourself be stuck. Because God says, I'm doing a new thing. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day, and I thought, man, that is so good. He said, the Navy has a saying. I've never been in the Navy. Marisol was in the Navy. I always find that awesome. She's in children's ministry. But they say you have to participate in your own rescue. Amen. You have to participate in your own rescue. And you know what? God has done the work. Jesus went to the cross. God has made a way, and he's making a way. But we've got to participate. You can't be a couch potato and expect new things, right? God's doing new things. We got to open our eyes. We got to get our head out of the TV. We got to open up and say, all right, Lord, what do you got for me today? Amen. Moms in here, what grace do you have for me today? What wisdom do you have? What understanding do you have for my kids? Every kid is different. Every kid is different, and every kid has the same parent in a family. Like with the Centrons, they got four kids. They're all very different, and they were all parented in different ways. But they were parented in a way that they did their best to bring the best out of each one of them. And I think they did a great job. I think they did a great job. But you know who helped them do a great job? The Holy Ghost. Come on. The Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, if you've never been in morning prayer, if you've never prayed with Pastor Angel, you are missing it. That man knows how to pray. You can tell when people pray at home. You can tell when people pray at home. And they pray. And so you know what? They heard and they saw the new thing that God was doing. He said, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? What does that mean? I can miss it. If I got my head where it doesn't go, I can totally miss it. Man, let's participate in our rescue. Let's participate in what God is doing. He said, do you not perceive it? And this is what God says. He says, I am making a way in the wilderness. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Man, when you look at your life and you're like, this is a bunch of wasteland. Nothing is working. It's filled with mistakes. It's filled with heartaches. It's filled with regret. It's filled with all of that. What's that? It's a wasteland. And God says, you know what? I'll make a stream through that. I'll turn that mess into a message. I'll turn that mess into a miracle. That's what God is saying, because God will make a way. And so I want you to turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings, I believe the Lord gave this to me. I was just praying, and I was going to go a different direction, and the Lord brought me here. And I'm so excited about this, because I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the miraculous power of God. Amen. Man, let's never get to the point where we're like, whatever, when it comes to the things of God. I don't want to be like that, because when you're like that, you will not perceive what God is doing. Your head is too stuck in the natural. You're not looking for the supernatural of God. The supernatural of God is here. It's available. It's for us. Amen. We talked about that last week, about the Holy Ghost. Don't limit the Holy Ghost to a two-hour meeting on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night when hands are getting laid on people or people are laughing or people are running. Listen, the Holy Ghost is so much more than that. Amen. Those are great. Those are great meetings. I mean, I love those meetings. We love them. But if you're limiting and that's all you know about the Holy Ghost, man, you are missing out. You are missing out. It's like going to Chick-fil-A and never eating a chicken sandwich. You're missing out. Right? You are missing out. And so if that's all you know about the Holy Ghost, you're missing out. He's not here just for 2 hours in a meeting. He is here for every day, every minute. He is our helper. He is the agent of present. Of God. He is the agent of change of God. And so the Holy Ghost is helping us. Amen. And so over here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and many of us know this story, but we're going to go through it. We're going to start in verse number 1. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. He's the prophet of God. Now remember, this is the Old Testament. And so when God would speak, he would speak through a prophet. He would speak through a prophet. And he cried out to Elijah. And this is what she said. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Listen, in this time, if you didn't pay your bills, they took your kids. Some of you are like, let me think about that. Let me think about it just for a minute, right? Gonna pay that Visa bill? I don't know now. I don't know. Thank God those days have changed, right? And so he says, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as a slave. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all. And I just want to stop there. You know, I was talking to a single mom on the phone, and this is really what inspired this message. I was talking to her, and she was so overwhelmed. You know, she's got, a little kid, and she's, doesn't have really any help. I mean, she's, she's in a tough spot. I'll just say that. And she was talking to me, and she was just saying, I just don't have anybody, and I don't have anything, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. And I was like, whoa, let's just pump the brakes for a minute. I said, you do have help. You do have strength. You have what you need in your house. Because you know where our house is? This is my house right here. This is where God lives. He lives in temples not made by man's hands anymore. He lives in me. He lives in you. And I said to her, I said, listen, you may not have a lot of natural things going on, but you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The first thing you need to do is change your perspective. Because until you do, you will always look on the outside for help and neglect the help that's already in you. And that's what this lady was doing. She was like, your servant has nothing there at all. Listen, don't fall for that lie from the enemy that you don't have anything. I don't care how alone you feel. I don't care how single of a parent you are. You have more than you need in you. Because she said, your servant has nothing there at all. She said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. You and your sons, pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. The oil only stopped flowing when it didn't have anywhere else to flow. Did you get that? When it didn't have anywhere else to flow, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. And so I just want to look through this a little bit, and let's just take this portion of scripture and let's just squeeze it out and let's get all that God has for us out of it. Because there's so much here for us, because we can get to the point where we feel like, man, I don't know what to do. Like we're up into a rock in a hard place, our back's up against the wall. We're backed into a corner. Whatever expression you have for being stuck, for being in a tight spot, use it. But know that God is there for you. Amen? Because here's the thing. The first thing she did that was right, and Angie touched on this, she went to God. She went to the prophet of God. Don't try to do stuff on your own. The good news is you don't have to go find a prophet anymore. We're in the New Testament now. You don't have to go find somebody to talk to. You don't have to go find a representative of God, because God is now here in person. Amen. He is here in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's on the inside of you. Wherever I am, I don't have to go to the beach. I don't have to go to a mountaintop. I don't have to go sit in a cabin somewhere. I can be in my car at a red light stressed and say, God. Yes. And you know what? He's already there. He's already there. He lives in me. The presence of God is with me. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, the Comforter will come. The Holy Ghost will come, and he lives on the inside of me. My strengthener, my comforter, the Holy Ghost, he's in me. Amen? And so but you know what? He'll sit there waiting all day for you to talk to him. He'll sit there waiting all day for you to put a demand on on the anointing that is upon you. And so the first thing that this lady did that was right is that she went to God. She cried out to Elijah. She told them what was up. Your servant is dead. We've got bills to pay. The creditors are coming. And then she did what he told her to do. She did it. She did it. So often we hear, how many of us, we've been there where it's like somebody gives us great advice, or we read a scripture in the Word, we're like, man, that's so good. That's so good. That's good. And then we go out and do exactly the opposite. We've probably all done that. Or the Holy Ghost is just speaking to us on the inside. We just have a knowing on the inside. It's not an audible voice, but man, we just know. And then we're just like, I'll do something different. I'll do something different, right? But this woman, this widow woman, she did the right thing. She went to the Lord, went to the prophet of God. She cried out to him. She told him what was up. And you know what? Elisha is a representative of God. And look what he says. He says, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know what? That's what the Holy Ghost is saying to every one of us. How can I help you? He is his name. God gives us his names to explain who he is. Jehovah Jireh means the God who sees ahead and provides. Amen? El Shaddai, it means the Lord who is more than enough. You know what one of the names of the Holy Ghost is? Helper. Helper. You know what helpers do? They ask you how they can help you. How can I help you? Man, the Holy Ghost is eager to help us. He's eager to teach us. He's eager to give us wisdom. He's eager to strengthen us. He's eager to comfort us. He's eager to guide us. He's eager. You know why? He's a helper. Amen. He's a helper. you know, in the office, Christina is my helper. And she is so eager to help. Sometimes I'm like, okay, you know. But she's like, what can I do? What do you need? And she just does things. I don't even ask. She just does them. Because you know why? Because that's her nature. She's a helper. She's a helper person. I mean, if you need anything, both of those guys, Joe and Christina, they'll do anything. You just say, hey, can you go? The other day I was like, hey, can you go pick up Travis? It's raining. I didn't want Travis riding in the rain. Nope. Yes. And you know what? So often we're so okay how asking people, or most people, you're not okay asking people. There's people ask you all the time, hey, what can I do to help you? And you're like, oh, I'm good. And on the inside, you're broken and lonely and hurting. And God keeps bringing people to help you, and you're just like, I'm good. We're not good. We all need help. We all need help. And so the prophet of God said, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? How can I help you? And you know what? That's what God is saying to us. He's saying, how can I help you? How can I help you? And he says, what do you have in your house? Guess what? The miracle you need is in your house.
Come on now.
All right. What you need is in your house. You know how I know that? The Holy Ghost is in your house. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is going to give you the wisdom, going to give you the understanding, going to give you all that you need to do what you need to do. You know who the best parent is? The best parent is the parent who prays, who seeks God, who follows God, who does what God says to do. Amen. And then when it doesn't seem like any of that's working, I know parents. Listen, I talk to parents all the time. And there are times where it doesn't feel like any of that's working. And they're like, I've prayed. I've stood. I've spoken the word. I raised my kid in church. And now look. But you know what? You know what the best parent does? The best parent still prays. Still speaks God. They stand and they call those things that be not as though they were. And they love their kid. And they make sure their kid knows, my door is open. You know why the prodigal son story, and this isn't part of my message, but you know why the prodigal son story was so profound and it affected the Jewish community in such a profound way? It was something they had never heard before. Here's why. Because when a son would leave the house, according to Jewish custom, if the son left the house, left the family, left everything and went and lived a different way, they were broken and could not be restored back to the family. And so what would happen, the father would come out and he would have a jar, a plate, or something that represented the family, and he would throw it to the ground and it would smash into the pieces. And it would represent the relationship that it could never be restored. And so when Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, the father never went out and chased him, never said what he was doing was okay, never did that. But when the son came to himself and came home, we know the rest. The Bible says the father ran out to greet him. That wasn't the norm. It wasn't how it usually went. Jesus was saying, there's a new way to do things. There's a new way to do things. And we look at this woman, we don't even know her name, but we look at her and we see what she did. She cried out to the prophet of God and he said, how can I help you? And then he told her what to do. And I think it's so amazing because she had a jar of olive oil and Elijah said, go and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Listen, don't ask God for just a little bit of help. Ask God for all the help you need. And then ask him for the help you don't realize you need.
Come on.
Amen? Ask him for the help you got no idea you need. Ask him for the help on the blind spot that you don't even know you have. That's why I love the story in Acts chapter 3 with the man at the gate, beautiful. He was asking for money, but what he really needed, what he didn't even know was a possibility, was he needed healing. And so that's why we pray in the Holy Ghost, because there are many things that we don't even know we need, but God knows we need them. And so the prophet says, don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a little, but don't be like, oh God, if you could just give me $20, God. If you could just give me $20, God. Like we're begging. Listen, children are not beggars. We don't beg to the Father. The Father is eager to help us. Just like the prophet said, how can I help you? How can I help you? And then the thing that I love about this story is it was all about oil. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, we know that every time oil is talked about, it is a type and a shadow, it's called. It's an example of the Holy Ghost. And so we see oil in the Old Testament, and we see what oil does, and we see how oil affects our lives, and we see what oil did. Oil was her provider. It was her provider. It provided what she needed, money. It provided it for her. And you know what? That's what the Holy Ghost did. He is our provider. He is here to help me. And so this was oil here, but now for us in the New Testament, guess what it is? He is the Holy Ghost. She could have said, well, I've got a jar. And he could have said, go grab all the jars and then go sell the jars. No. She borrowed those jars. She borrowed them. And the oil just kept filling and filling and filling until there were no more jars. And you know what? The Holy Ghost, as long as you'll leave a space for him to fill, he'll just keep filling you and filling you and filling you and filling you. Man, isn't that so good? A couple weeks ago, we had our Rhema meeting here at church. It's for all the Rhema pastors from this area. And one of the things that our new Rhema regional, his name is Earl, he spoke on, and he talked about things that oil does. Things that oil does. And I'll tell you what, it was so good. And I was writing notes, and I even asked Devon for his notes to make sure that I got all of it. And I want to tell you, because the Holy Ghost is here to help you, right? The Holy Ghost is your helper. He's here to help you 168 hours in the week. That's how many there are. Not for just 2 hours. Not just while you're at church. All the time. The Holy Ghost is your helper. The Holy Ghost, he is the oil. Amen? The oil of God. And so when we think about, well, what does the Holy Ghost do? Well, let's ask ourselves, what does oil do? And so Earl, he gave this list of things that oil did. And as I was reading it, I was like, man, I need all those things. I need all those things. If you think about oil, just in our world system, the economy is mainly based on the price of oil. It is a world changer. So is the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so here's some things that oil does. Oil lubricates. It alleviates friction and stress. See, when we get the help of the Holy Ghost, when we yield to the Holy Ghost, when we look for the help of the Holy Ghost, guess what's going to happen? He's going to help with that friction. He's going to help with that stress. And you know what? Every family, I don't care if there's 2 people in the house or 10 people, there is friction and there is stress. You know why? Because we're human beings. We're human beings. Another thing that oil does is oil causes things to fit together easily. Man, isn't that good? I remember when I was a kid, I put a ring on my finger, and it got stuck. Anybody ever been there? I put a ring on my finger, and it got stuck. It's when I lived in Indiana, so I was under 10, and I was freaked out because I couldn't get it off. And then the more you mess with it, what happens? Your hand starts to swell, and then you panic more, and you're just like, but you know what my mom did? My mom was like, she got the cooking oil out. It was Crisco. How many remember Crisco? Crisco oil. It's amazing I'm still alive. She got the Crisco oil out, and she put it all around where it was. And you know what happened? Came off. Came off. You know, some of the things where we feel so stuck and feel like nothing's moving and starting to hit that panic mode a little bit, you know what you need? You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. You just need to take a step back and yield and ask the helper that's already in you. Help me, lead me, guide me, teach me, speak to me. Amen. And you know what? You know what he's going to say? How can I help you? Because he's our helper. He's our helper. But the oil causes things to fit together easily. And when things start feeling like we're putting a square peg in a round hole and things aren't working and all that, we need to step back and let the Holy Ghost take care of it. You say, well, how do I do that? I take a step back and I pray in the Holy Ghost. I sit with the Holy Ghost. I yield to him. You know, that's what it is. A lot of times, there's a lot of us in here, we pray in the Holy Ghost all the time, but then we never yield to him. We pray and we get the leading, we get the unction, we get, you know, just on the inside. We're a spirit-filled church. On the inside, you know what to do. Not up here, but in here. You know what to do. But then we're like, I don't see how that's going to work. That makes me uncomfortable. That's not, listen, peace and comfort are two different things. I always say that sometimes there's a time where, man, I know that God is saying do this, but I'm real uncomfortable about it because it's taking me out of my comfort zone. But you know what? I got to yield to it because I got to trust that oil makes things fit together. They keep things from becoming fatigued and worn out. How many got oil in your car? If you don't have oil in your car, you are going to be in trouble. I remember pulling up, you know, I'm not a car person, but I was raised by all car people. I pulled up and I had moved out of the house and I was on my own. I pulled up in the driveway and my dad's standing there and all of a sudden my dad starts yelling at me, which he never does. He's yelling at me, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. And I'm like, you know, of course you panic, you don't turn it off. And I'm like, turn what off? He's like, the car. And I turn it off. He goes, you don't hear that clicking sound? And I was like, yeah, that's why I came over, because I didn't know what it was. He's like, you have no oil in the car. You know what? You can have a perfectly good car. You can have a great life. But if it doesn't have oil, it's going to get fatigued, and it's going to wear out before it's time. Doesn't matter how new the car is, still needs oil. Doesn't matter how fancy it is, still needs oil. And you know what? It keeps things from becoming fatigued and worn out. Another thing it does, it provides energy. It improves performance and provides power. How many moms in here are like, man, I need some energy. I need some power. I need more. You know what? The Holy Ghost is your answer. It loosens things that are stuck or sticking. I like this one. It gets rid of the squeaking. Gets rid of the squeaking. You know what? There's some things in our lives that are squeaking. And sometimes, you know that old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the attention. And we're giving the attention to the squeaking instead of giving it to the one who'll stop the squeaking. Ooh, that's so good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Gets rid of the squeaking. Another thing it does, it provides a light, provides lamps. Our answers are in the Holy Ghost. The answers you're looking for, they're in the Holy Ghost. And you know what? It can come from just from the inside. It can come from, you know, I can't tell you how many times that I've stood in this pulpit and said things and like, man, that's so good. Where'd that come from? That's the Holy Ghost. Or I'll stand in the back and somebody will start talking to me about something they're going through and how the message that I preached, it just was, you know, it spoke and it did exactly what they needed him to do. And I'm sitting here thinking like, what were you listening to, you know? Because it just seems so different. You know what? The Holy Ghost used it to minister to them. The Holy Ghost. The last thing, it brings provision. Brings provision.